It's time to go through the stage door on WMNH 95.3 with the Majestic Theater. This program celebrates what's happening on stage at the Majestic Theater and explores the musical sounds coming from the halls of the Ted Herbert Music School. Find us on the web at majestictheater.net or tedherbert.com or call us at 669-7469. You can also join us in the world of social media, MajesticNH and Ted Herbert Music on Facebook, MajesticNH on Twitter, or Majestic_NH_Theater on Instagram. That's theater with an R-E at the end, of course. And as always, all the music you hear on this program can also be found on the Majestic Theater's YouTube channel, The Majestic 603. My name is Robert Dine. I'm the founder and artistic director of Majestic Theater, administrator at Ted Herbert's. And for over 90 combined years, The Majestic and Ted Herbert's has been providing arts opportunities for all ages, for and by the community. Today, I am very, very excited to welcome a guest into the studio. And I have not had a guest in the studio since, like, before something happened. There was some pandemic or something. But I'm thrilled that my first guest today is Jocelyn Duford. Hello, Jocelyn.
Hello.
And I have a real person, and we're not facing each other, though. We're almost 6 feet apart, but we're not looking at each other.
We're safe.
We're safe. But Jocelyn's in the studio today because she's doing a really incredible show. We actually, as you know, we reopened the lesson studios at Ted Herbert's. We opened those beginning a couple weeks ago for in-person lessons. We only have a few people coming in-person lessons. We're still doing virtual lessons for Ted Herbert's. I'll tell you, the in-person lessons are interesting as a piano teacher because student comes and goes and I'm like wiping the piano down and this and boy, I'll tell you, I'm a good cleaner.
I'm a good cleaner now. Come to my house.
But at any rate, Jocelyn's actually here because we're reopening the theater on August 16th. We're opening the theater with a cabaret show called ABC, Jocelyn's ABC, the Alphabet Broadway Cabaret, which is a one-person show that Jocelyn stars in. And we've wanted to do this show for some time. And let me just give you a little synopsis about the show. First of all, tickets for that and all of ours, we're going to be heading into some cabaret series this next few months at the Studio Theater on 880 Page Street, Manchester. And you can get tickets either online if you want a virtual ticket, which we'll talk about what that means eventually. We'll talk about what a virtual ticket is. You can get that online at majestictheater.net. Or if you want to come in person, we have a limited amount of tickets. We're allowed to sell about 25% of our theater space, distance seats. You do have to call for those tickets at 669-7469. Please don't try and get them at the door. You may not be able to get them at the door. Call in advance. But Jocelyn's ABC, this is a synopsis. Jocelyn Duford brings us her acclaimed one-woman show, ABC, Alphabet Broadway Cabaret, featuring a musical theater song for each letter of the alphabet. ABC is at times hilarious and poignant as Jocelyn changes wigs, costumes, and characters while showcasing the talent and artistry she is known for. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of songs.
Yes. Yeah. 26, right? That's how many.
Oh, I thought there were 52. No, that's Cards in a Deck. Yeah. I get the two confused sometimes. So Jocelyn, tell us a little bit about yourself. You've done theater everywhere. So tell us a little about yourself and what you've done in theater.
Yes, so I had my degree in theater, so I am a bachelor holding educated theater person. So I've done theater here, there, and everywhere, just like you said, Rob. My passion is musical theater, though I've dabbled in some Shakespeare, which was fun as well.
Oh, how about that?
Yes, quite well. I like. I've been working on musicals. I love this one woman show that I've developed. Touring this, I've toured with similar cabarets to assisted living facilities, retirement centers, as well as doing workshops for kids and teens. That's another big part of who I am as a theater artist, is working with students, because I feel that that's a pretty important part of what theater means.
And a little later,
me.
We're actually going to talk too about how different that is now.
Yes.
You know, we'll talk about that a little later.
Yeah.
But so you theater. So, but you're actually teaching this fall.
I am.
Well, you're teaching. You're not sure if it's in person or virtually,
know yet.
Or whether you have to stand on your head to teach or jump up.
Like
and down.
While drinking a glass of water.
While drinking
right?
a glass of water.
Rub your stomach.
You know, I think
head.
That was a scene from Dr. Seuss, actually.
Yeah, that's what teaching's going to look like. Yes, I recently, here's a twist for you. I got certified to teach math.
Oh.
So I'll be working in a high school teaching high schoolers math.
Very, very cool.
Yes, bringing the theater to mathematics.
Oh, well, theatrical. Where are thou fractions?
Yes. I know, that's the bane of many a student's existence is fractions. But.
Oh, that's okay. I remember fractions. I guess I couldn't do the new math. It's like they have this new math thing now. Is that what you had to get certified in, was the new math? Did you learn the new math or the old math?
So math is math. Don't be talking to me about old math. We can have a whole different show on that.
Oh, okay.
No, there are many different, what it is about now with math is it's about how you get to an answer, right? What's your thought process?
Oh,
so
okay.
we can leave it at that.
So 1 + 1 still is 2.
It is.
Oh, phew, because I was getting a little concerned there. You know, I mean, I was like, oh, do I need to learn, like, new math?
No, I think you're good.
At 32 years old?
You've got your calculator, so.
I do have my calculator, actually. And it's funny because, you know, calculators is a funny thing because I remember in high school, they wouldn't let you use a calculator until you got to a certain level of math.
Right.
And now it's all calculators, which I think is kind of funny how we've kind of just finally embraced the technology.
Yeah. It's about knowing how to use that technology properly.
Right.
That's really what it is for all different subjects, aspects, is you have this technology. Is it useful? It's only useful if you know how to use it.
No, that's true. I mean, I was a purist for many years with whole transposing songs. You know, I was very much like, okay, if the song was not written in your key, you shouldn't be singing it.
Right.
And over the years, things such as musicnotes.com, where you can get any song in any key, it seems, and keyboards now, you're not sitting at a grand piano going, oh, I got to lower this 3 steps. How do I do that? I've kind of come around on that and be like, oh, okay, yep, yeah, I can just press a button on the keyboard and that's okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely technology. Definitely, eventually, you have to embrace it either embrace it or you're going to get lost in the dust.
Yeah.
So what prompted you to create this? Well, let's first of all talk about what is the Alphabet Broadway Cabaret? You obviously said it's a song for every letter. What can people expect at this show?
So at this show, it's a lot of fun for me, and people have told me that they have fun too.
Well, that's good.
I always like to check in. Is it as fun for them as it is for me? But what they can expect, yes, is what you heard. So every letter, there is a song. I've got some cool medley mashups that you're not going to hear anywhere else.
Oh, cool.
So this is very exclusive. And yes, I have a beautiful wig stand. I can't remember how many wigs I have. So you can look forward to me changing wigs on the fly. So it's going to be, I chat with you a smidge while changing my wigs. I sing. I tell you about either a personal connection or, you know, just why. Maybe I just like the song and I wanted to sing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, I've had a lot of audience interaction, but I'm trying to adapt that for our new socially distanced. But you can still expect to, you know, to be asked to participate. It's just a fun evening with songs that are very comedic to songs that really are really, really emotional. So it's really fun because you get a breadth of all these different characters and probably a taste of some songs and musicals you might not have even heard of, because not everything I'm doing is from classic Broadway.
That is true, because you sent me a list of, we're going to actually play some of those songs today, and you sent me a list of 7, and I have to admit there's two or three of them I had never heard before. So it's kind of cool. It's like, oh, this is really cool, because I'm like one of these people that likes to listen to that weird Broadway stuff that you never get to hear, you know? And a couple shows on there, too, that are things that nobody does these shows,
right.
and there's such great songs on them. And it's interesting with the interactive piece, because that's probably the biggest challenge as theater people we have, is theater music is interactive. There's no way around it. So we really have to find a way to interact safely.
Right.
And even with like our cabaret series, I'm avoiding the usual big Broadway sing-alongs, because we just can't do that right now in a theater full of 160 people.
Right.
It's just not smart to do that. So let me jump in real quick, because you sent me a list of songs. So I want to play some of these songs, and I want to kind of hear your connection to them. And these are all songs that are in the ABC yes. Cabaret. And the first one is from a show called See What I Want to See. I had never heard of this show before. And I guess Idina Menzel was the big popular
yes.
woman in that one. And Idina Menzel was popular from Wicked, as you know, or as you may not know, now you know. See, we just edmagicated you. And See What I See is a musical. It was written by Michael John Latresa and based on three short stories. The story is told in two parts, two prologues, and each prologue involves the medieval lovers, killers, Kisa and Morito. Oh, my.
Oh, yes.
Oh, do you play both?
Yes. So that show was originally designed to have the people in Act 1 taking the roles of people in Act 2 as well.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, like romance,
yes.
and love you, person, I change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep.
Yes.
All right.
So that's, yes, it was a little steamy, the opening
wow.
of those, opening of Act 1 and Act 2. It's a little steamy with those.
I can see where that might be the case. And it says here, and obviously, you know, if you read Wikipedia, you're going to read everything I'm saying to you guys, because I take it all off of Wikipedia, because if it's on Wikipedia, it must be true.
Sure.
Must be true. But it says, the first act follows a murder in Central Park in 1951 from the various perspective of several different characters, and Act 2 centers on a priest wavering in his faith who creates a hoax about a miracle. Played off Broadway in 2005, since been performed in the UK and in regional U.S. theaters. I have to say, I've not seen this in any of the musical theater catalogs, so I don't know who handles it, but I really like the song. So we're going to play the original... world premiere recording. This is See What I Want to See, sung by Idina Menzel in 2005 from the musical See What I Want to See.
Friday night down in Houston in a spot called Bamboo Jacks. Everyone was doing the mambo and drinking golden Cadillacs. Sally was there with her daddy, but daddy was in a funk. Sally met up with and took a shine to a hunk from East Podunk. And daddy cried, hey, what you doing, what you doing? Oh, what's he got, I don't got. All I see is American cheese. He'll melt when you get hot. And Sally,
right, so tell us a little bit about that, Jocelyn, that song. That's a pretty cool number.
Yeah, part of the reason why I put that one in
is because it begins with S.
Begins with S.
Okay,
that's
good.
That's key.
Okay, see? Yep,
that's
see.
Key.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, you'll see that if you need a brush up on your ABC, so
okay,
it'll be
good.
Helpful. But I feel that as a standalone number, you really don't... I love that, you know... you could go find out about what the story is, but that number you could hear out of context. And I think it fits.
It'll
really
totally
well.
Make sense.
Oh yeah. You know, it's the tale as old as time with, like, you know, jealousy between flings and
now, so
lovers.
Do you dress up as Idina Menzel as Elphaba during that number?
That would be amazing. No.
And you
so
come down through the ceiling of the theater.
Yes. When I get, you know, when the budget prospectus comes in. We'll,
yes,
we'll,
yes.
We'll
when we're able
that.
To fully produce the show
yes.
on Broadway.
That's very cool. That's the goal. But this, I actually was in a production of See What I Want to See.
Oh, really? Where?
New Hampshire? Not Your Mom's Musical Theater did it.
Oh, of course they did.
Yes.
Of course they did.
So we did it in Manchester several years back. So I got to experience that. And that, so that song is very accessible, I feel. Mm-hmm. But the other music in that show is some of the most challenging music I've ever had to learn.
Wow.
So I would take a look at it, you know, as a, you know, pianist accompanist and see it's a.
Oh,
it's
well,
a,
I don't know if it's. Okay, I'll be calling Keith Boland, right?
I
always tell him I make him play all the hard stuff. Yeah, it's interesting with Not Your Mom's because they did some great shows over the years, like Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, mm-hmm. and shows that just weren't. And that was their thing. Their thing was to do shows that were out of the loop, you know, and shows that people weren't doing. So you picked a song for each. So what prompted you to create Alphabet Broadway Cabaret?
Right.
How did it pop in your brain? How did you create this?
So this, it actually does go back kind of to the Not Your Mom's age because they did.
You did it there first, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay.
They had done a concert series celebrating all these lesser known songs from Broadway musicals or off Broadway that celebrated each decade. So we started, I think, in 2012, so we did songs from 62, 72, 82, 92, blah, blah, blah. We did that for a few years. So I had this arsenal of musical theater songs.
Yeah.
And
which we never throw anything away. Are you like
we
me?
Can't.
You keep every song.
I have binders.
Ever written, even though it's, you can get electronically now. But what if the computer erases itself?
But
you can back it up. It's still.
But my notes are on there. Yeah. Like, I need my notes. I need to have the. Yes, so I have binders on binders of all those things. So it just made sense. I was thinking, okay, I have all these songs. What's a kind of theme? So I was toying around with what's a unifying theme for all these songs. And, well, I was like, there are a lot of them. What about the alphabet? That would be a unifying.
So it must
theme.
Have been a challenge, though, finding songs that start with certain letters, I would imagine.
Yes. So
what were the hardest letters?
The hardest letters were Q and X.
Okay.
I don't know if you could predict what X is, because I think there's like only one.
Oh. Is it from Xanadu?
Yeah. Yes. So no surprise with
we
that
have
one.
A teen. We have a couple teens that really want us to do Xanadu.
Oh, I know one
big,
of those teens.
Big
yes.
time. Shout out to James Bridges, who really wants us to do Xanadu. I keep telling him, we're going to wait till you're 20, then we'll do the kid version. He's like, don't do that.
Yeah. Oh, yes. No, he spoke to me about that. I was like, oh, I don't know what you think you're getting into, my friend.
Yeah.
So, yes, that was tricky. And so for Q, I kind of fudged it a little bit. The song title doesn't start with Q.
Oh, people are going to want their money back.
They're
now.
They're going to, yes. Oh, so man. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Let's cut that part.
Okay, we'll
maybe,
cut that.
But
we'll cut that on the edit.
But those were the trickiest. Those were the trickiest ones. To figure out, but otherwise I had many that fell into place, and then there were some that I had to find a new track for that I didn't have in my arsenal, which was also cool for me to get to explore those different avenues of what other songs are out there. So Jamie Feinberg did help me mm-hmm. with that development process.
Very
as
cool.
Well. Yeah.
If you're just joining us, we're talking today with Jocelyn Duford, who's appearing in the ABC, the Alphabet Broadway Cabaret, a one-woman show happening at the Majestic Studio Theater August 16th. It's a Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Studio Theater at 880 Page Street. Virtual tickets available online at majestictheater.net, or you can also get in-person tickets because we are selling a limited amount of distanced seats. You have to call for those, 669-7469. And so, Jocelyn, so as you said, there's some traditional songs in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And this next one is definitely from a traditional musical. And it's from the musical Peter Pan. And I'm going to play for you the song you have from that show, which is called I Won't Grow Up. I'm actually going to play you the version from the Peter Pan Live. It was interesting doing some research on Peter Pan. You know, it was actually from the 1904 play originally, which I never knew that. I knew that it went back, but and they've pretty much adapted into animated, you know, films, live action films, musical stage, you know, sequel novels. Isn't there a new musical called Neverland? Isn't that based on, or is that something different?
That I think is loosely based on.
Okay.
Isn't that about the writer?
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
I'd have to look.
I know some
more
of the songs that I don't know the actual show, but you'll know this song, folks. This is I Won't Grow Up. This is Allison Williams singing it and Peter Pan live back in 2015.
Look, my shadow, my very own shadow.
It's only a shadow.
Yes, but it's all mine. Oh, I'm so clever. Oh, the cleverness of me.
Well, of course, I did nothing. Peter, you're conceited.
Conceited? Not me. It's just that I am what I am, and I'm me. When I look at myself and I see in myself all the wonderful things that I see, if I'm pleased with myself, I have every good reason to be. I got a crow. I'm just the cleverest fella 'twas ever my fortune to know. I taught a trick to my shadow to stick to the tip of my toe. I got a crow. I got a brag. I think it's sweet. I have fingers and feet. I can wiggle and wag. I can climb trees and play tag with the breeze in the meadows below. I got a crow. If I were a very ordinary, everyday thing, I'd never be heard. Cock-a-doodling round like a bird so naturally. When I discover the cleverness of a remarkable me. How can I hide it when deep down inside it just tickles me so that I gotta let go and grow. Tried so naturally. When I discover the cleverness of a remarkable me, how can I hide it when deep down inside it just tickles me so that I gotta let go.
All right, and Jocelyn corrected me once I started the music, and you're totally right. I wrote down I Won't Grow Up, but it's actually I Got a Crow.
Yes.
And I'm glad that I at least picked the right song. I just put the wrong song on my sheet. So we were talking off, you know, during that music, we were talking about the whole Peter Pan thing and how it's deceivingly a hard show because of the flying piece of it.
Yes.
So how are you going to do that? Are you going to fly around the stage? Or are you gonna...
Yes. So I have, you know, Tinkerbell with me.
Oh, okay.
To...
and she'll be playing all the roles. All the roles, all 27 roles featuring.
Yes. No, we'll see. You know, I'm getting on a little bit in years, but I got a pretty good high jump going. So you'll have to suspend your disbelief a little bit when it comes to the flying part of that. But that's one of my most favorite songs to perform. Somebody who really inspired me was Mary Martin. You know, she played
Mary
Peter
Martin.
Pan for years.
Yep, she sure did.
And she
played it much older than you are right now.
Yes. Well, right, that gives me hope. It's like, oh, there's still time. I could be Peter if anybody's looking. I've got that high jump.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, the original Broadway musical Peter Pan was actually, the role of Peter Pan was always played by a woman. And over the years, Mary Martin, who's the gymnast? Mary Lou Retner? No, that's someone different. Whoever, it'll come to me after the fact.
Sure.
And soon to be Jocelyn Dufresne, of course.
Yes, yes.
Allison Williams obviously did it for the movie. So we were talking a little bit also about the two types of tickets you can get for these shows. Right now, Majestic Studio Theater, you know, we're only allowed to sell about 25% of our theater seats, which is about 40 seats, distanced, so you'll be at least 6 feet apart from the rest of the people that are not already part. Obviously, if you go with your spouse, you're going to sit with your spouse. Right. But we're also offering a virtual ticket for all of our shows this next season. Every show we do this next season will have a virtual ticket. And what that is, you know, right now, I've been very honest and upfront with everybody that you have to do what you're comfortable with. You know, some people are comfortable just going out there and doing everything as if nothing happened. A lot of us, though, are a little more apprehensive. So for those who aren't comfortable attending the show in person, you can buy a virtual ticket. It's only $10 per person. And when you purchase your ticket online, you automatically receive a link in your email that allows you to watch the show on YouTube as it's happening. And we're currently spending a good chunk of change in the theater, getting the theater set up with cameras. You know, obviously, Jocelyn, your show is going to be the very first one we do virtual. We've done some cabarets virtual, like my cabaret, sure, which has been very easy. That's like a camera just on me doing nothing. But this is the first time we're going to do the three-camera thing. So, you know, we're asking for people to kind of, you know, grow with us at this. But we want you to be able to enjoy Majestic Theater, even if you're not comfortable to come actually to the theater. And if you have any questions about that, you can reach out to our office, obviously. But we're excited to be able to offer that extra piece. And honestly, it's also a financial thing, too, because theater is expensive. And we can't do show. We will not have a season if we don't have another piece like the online piece to sell some extra seats. So, you know, I always say we're nonprofit. We don't need to make lots of money, but we can't keep losing money. So, and COVID has definitely given us a challenge for that.
Yes.
But we shall overcome, because next season's our 30th anniversary season.
Oh, you know, my goodness.
Of all times to have a 30th.
Wow.
I had all these big musicals planned and all that. It's okay, because I already have an idea for the 31st anniversary season. So another show that's funny that you had sent me that you're doing this is a show that's funny because it's considered a classic musical now, and I can't wrap my brain around that because this came out when I was in high school, like 3 years ago. All right, not 3 years ago, but the show was Phantom of the Opera, and the show came out in 1987. I was a sophomore in high school in 1987. I remember it was Phantom and Les Mis. Those two shows were like the big shows. Now they're considered classic shows,
yeah,
and which is really mind-blowing. I consider classic shows like Rodgers and Hammerstein,
sure,
The Wizard of Oz, shows like that. But you have a song called Wishing You Were Somehow Here Again. Great, great number from that show. And as you know, Phantom of the Opera, written by Andrew Lloyd Webber, Charles Hart, and Richard Stilgo. It was based on the 1910 French novel of the same name by Gaston Leroux. A couple interesting things about that. It opened in the London's West End in 1986 and on Broadway in 1988. It is the longest-running show in Broadway history by a wide margin and is celebrating its 10,000th Broadway performance in February 2012 and was the first production ever to do so. It's the second-longest-running West End musical after Les Mis and the third-longest-running West End show overall after The Mousetrap. London, Agatha Christie.
It has to be.
Unfortunately, sadly, recently, this just came out that due to COVID, the show in London will permanently close this year.
I did see that.
And which is really sad. And it's been entertaining audiences since 1986. They're hoping to bring it back at some point. But with an estimated worldwide gross receipts of over $6 billion and a total Broadway gross of over $1 billion, Phantom was the most financially successful entertainment event ever. Until, leave it to Disney to screw everything up. Into the Lion King surpassed it in 2014. But by 2011, Phantom had been seen by over 130 million people in 145 cities across 27 countries. Are you going to do it in several languages?
Oh my gosh, that's a wonderful idea. Oh, that could be my next show.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your rendition of the
All
song?
All right. Well, now I have ideas. You got the brain going. I have to be honest. I was kind of new to Phantom when I was first, you know, developing this list several years ago, and I don't know why I'd been resistant to it, but I was. But then I watched. They came out with the 25th anniversary edition at the Royal Albert Hall, and I watched that, and I fell in love with it. I was like, oh, the music, like the Christine, that part is amazing. And have to be honest, I have a really great wig.
Here we go.
It's my Christine
wig. I have a feeling that the wigs are going
to
upstage you sometimes. You know, I have to confess that I listen to Phantom. I probably have 16 different versions on compact disc, mm-hmm, full versions of that and Les Mis. I never saw the actual musical until it was on the shows Must Go On YouTube during COVID. They were doing a musical every week. Finally watched the musical all the way through, and I was like, wow. And they actually also had the sequel, Love Never Dies, which is the second show he wrote, which never went to Broadway. It actually came to Boston. I had tickets and I didn't go. But it was, you know, all those things. I watched that as well, but it was like really, really cool to actually finally see the show. So you're saying the wig is going to be the
wig. No, the performance is good too, but I'm just saying, take note of that wig because that's my Christine wig. I splurged to get that
one. All right, we're going to have to close up on that for the virtual people.
Please do, on the ringlets that are
there. So this is Wishing You Were Somehow Here Again, and this is the original Broadway cast in 1987 featuring Andrew Loeber's wife at the time, Sarah Brightman.
Father promised her that he would send her the angel of music. Her father promised her, her father promised her.
That was Wishing You Were Somehow Here Again from the musical Andrew Lloyd Webber's The Phantom of the Opera. So Jocelyn, you talked about your Christine wig.
Yes.
Are there any characters that are part of your bucket list or shows that you haven't done that you want to do? There's probably a whole list. What are your favorites?
Right.
That you would love to do?
I know. Well, I would love, obviously, like cliche, Wicked.
Of course.
Let me be anybody.
Well, are you going to be the good witch or the bad witch?
Right. Anybody.
Okay.
What are you going to give me? Yeah. Or even Madame Morrible. I'll be the teacher.
There's certain shows I'm like, I'll play any role. I will play even the female roles. I don't care. I want to be in the show.
Please give me. Yes. So that's how I feel. Obviously, Elphaba would be amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't know quite that I have the upper range for all of Glinda's songs, but that would be fun as well.
I'll tell you, when that finally comes out for amateur rights, holy Moses. It's going to be like Frozen. Everybody's going to want to do it. And I'm going to be like, all right, I'm just going to sit back and go, I'm going to wait 5 years. And then I'm going to do it. And I'm going to rent everyone else's all their beautiful costumes and sets.
That's so smart. Yep.
But yeah, that's definitely a show. When Wicked finally comes out, people are going to
buy stock in green face paint, right? When that comes out.
Well, it was like it's funny with green, when we did Shrek. Oh my goodness, we couldn't. Everybody was doing Shrek. We couldn't get the face paint. Finally came in like opening day or something. It was outrageous. So what are some other roles or shows that you'd like to be part of?
Next to Normal is one of my favorite shows. For a time in my youth, I wanted to be Natalie, but I think I've crossed that threshold. So Diana is an amazing role in that show that I would love to tackle. That's such an emotionally powerful performance. I got to see that with the original Broadway cast in New York.
Wow.
Which was pretty stellar.
Cool.
Alice Ripley was Diana in that.
Well, actually, that's a good segue into our next number, because our next number is from a musical who also has music by Tom Kitt, who wrote music for Next to Normal. And the musical, this is one of the ones I hadn't heard of. I think I had heard of the musical, but I'm not familiar with it. The musical is called Bring It On the Musical. You're laughing. I'm going to give a little history, then I want you to tell me why you're laughing. But anyway, this has, it's actually interesting. It has music by Tom Kitt and Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote some popular musical, I think, was it Hamilton or something? I don't know. And lyrics by Amanda Green and Miranda, book by Jeff Witte. Musical is loosely based on the 2000 film of the same name, and it focuses on the competitive world of cheerleading and over-the-top team rivalries. Touring stage production began previews on Broadway in July 2012 at the St. James Theater, and opened for a limited engagement. But you started to laugh. The song is called Killer Instinct.
Yes.
And tell us why this brings to you.
Well, so Bring It On the movie was like a classic. I can't remember if I was in high school or middle school when it came out, but my friends and I watched that movie, could quote it like I still could probably today.
So the fact that you were in high school in 2000, that...
Oh, middle school then.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, sorry. Year 2000.
Me
school.
Too.
Yes.
Oh, I wasn't even... I wasn't